Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all the resources I mentioned. This episode is sponsored by Microsoft Education, and I'm so excited to partner with them this summer. Have you seen all of the new updates in Microsoft Teams? I love the new Reflect for Assignments that lets students share how they are feeling and think about their emotions. This is just one of the dozens of updates to Microsoft Teams. Head to aka.ms/teamspp to find out more about Microsoft Teams and all of the new updates. You can also send me a DM on Instagram while you're listening to this episode, and I'll send you the link. This week's podcast episode is titled, How Flipping Your Classroom Can Save You Time with Mandy Rice. Mandy and I first connected in a Facebook group, and I was so excited to chat with her all about the work she does to help teachers make their work more sustainable. In this episode, you'll hear all about flipped classrooms, what it is, if it's a new term for you or one you're revisiting, how to make it happen if you're interested in jumping in, and a few favorite tools to consider, including some free ones that I love to use for making instructional videos. We're going to jump right into the conversation, but remember, wherever you're listening to this episode, in the description area, you'll see a link to the show notes. You can go there for every single link to everything we talk about, and I put a couple links right here if you're listening on Spotify or if you're listening in Apple Podcasts too. Let's go for it and listen to the conversation with Mandy. Welcome, Mandy. I am so excited to have you here on the podcast today to talk about all things flipped classroom and saving time and being productive with our choices or sustainable with our choices, I should say. Welcome to the podcast. Would love to start off with sharing a little bit or hearing a little bit about your role in education and what your day-to-day looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to chat about this and to really just talk with another educator and with teachers who are listening. It's awesome. Yeah, so I'm Mandy Rice. Hi, everybody, of teachonamission.com and the Sustainable Teacher Podcast. I spent 10 years in the high school social studies classroom just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm married to a high school principal. So that adds another layer of busy, right? And then I also have 3 boys, 7, 6, and 3. So that's just a little bit about me. In 2019, I started my own business, Teach on a Mission, and I'm now doing that full time. I kind of tried it out, took a year sabbatical, and I'm now doing that full time where I'm helping teachers build more sustainable classrooms so they can stay there as long as they would like. That's really what it's about.
I love that. I just love that mission to make things so just doable and actionable information that you share. And so, you know, as we're talking today, you know, our big topic for this episode is around flipping your classroom, right? Mm-hmm. And flipped classrooms, you know, it might not be a new term for listeners, but I think it's important for us to start just by unpacking that term and what it mm-hmm. means and what it looks like in action. Can you tell us a little bit about what that flipped classroom experience looks like and what that term means when we use it to describe technology integration?
Yes, absolutely. So if you think of the traditional classroom, and that's really why it's flipped, right? It's taking the traditional classroom and flipping it. And before I describe all of it, I want to just say that I truly believe in my heart of hearts, in my teacher core, that the term flipped classroom is going to go away. Not that the technique will, but that it's going to be so normalized and so widely used that the term flipped classroom is going to become normal and not used anymore. So what is it, right? So take the traditional classroom and let's just take, like, for instance, a math class. Okay. So an algebra teacher at the high school level, let's say they are in class and they show their students, right? Like, here's how you work this formula, whatever they're teaching their students. Now let's do it together, right? This is all them up at the board, what we call lecturing, right? Or content delivery. And then they probably say, okay, now you practice, but for homework tonight, you're going to do practice problems 1 through 50 odd only, you know, something like that. I just remember that from high school and math. So what that means is the content delivery and what is really at the bottom of Bloom's taxonomy and the much easier process in learning is done in class in the presence of a teacher. And then the harder parts of learning, where a student is practicing and applying, is now done at home in isolation. The flipped classroom flips that. Now the harder parts of learning are back in the classroom with their teacher helping, their classmates around. But the quote homework, actually, it doesn't come after the learning. It's the learning before the deeper dive, right? Before the harder parts of learning occur. So instead, a math teacher would say, okay, you're going to watch this 10-minute video, let's say, approximately, where the teacher is showing them, here's how you do it, and here's how we can do it together in a video. Then when students come to class, they're doing all of the practice and application together. So that's really it in a nutshell.
I love just what you said about that idea that the flipped classroom term, or kind of being its own separate thing, might not be the case, right, in a couple years from now. I think especially this year where there's been so much just embracing technology in ways that are really accelerated, right? So with the shift to distance learning and hybrid learning in so many environments, there's things that we're doing that we kind of thought we might do in the future, but we're just doing a lot more quickly. Yeah. Or a lot more kind of just sped it up a little bit, if you will. So, you know, when we talk about this piece, anytime we're trying something new or looking at something that might be different than what we've done in the past, I think a lot of times we think like, oh, this is going to take time to learn, or this is going to take time to do, or do I have the time for this? And so I'm curious, you know, are there ways, you know, or what are some of the ways that a flipped classroom might save a teacher time?
Absolutely. So time is a big one. Time is probably the number one thing when teachers come to me, when I'm helping, you know, I've helped hundreds of teachers flip their classrooms, and that's the big hurdle is, but it's going to take so much time. They're not wrong in saying that it's going to take time to prepare this. Any kind of change you're making in your classroom, right? It's going to take time, but that doesn't make us feel better. So here's the way that I kind of explain it. Let's say that at the middle school or high school level, teaching just one subject area or one course, you give what is approximately a 30-minute lecture or content delivery, and you have four periods where you do that, right? Four periods where you do that. Let's assume that you teach that one course for 10 years, because we don't teach the same thing all 30 plus years of our career, right? That's 20 hours of delivering the same exact, quote, lecture or content delivery, right? If you put that into a video, it'll take you no more than 1 hour. And that video becomes much more, and therefore the content becomes much more accessible to your students because you've literally taken it out of you, which is only accessible, you know, very limitedly, right? Because that's what's sustainable. But now it's in a video and that's accessible to your kids. And you've just essentially created 19 hours out of thin air. Right. So if we compare apples to apples, which I don't always like to do, right, that absolutely it saves you time, but it also creates more authentic use of your students' time when you're in the classroom. When you're in the classroom, rather than talking to all 25 or 30 of them at once, now you get to kind of guide them through what is the learning process that you've made for them. And you get to meet with them one-on-one or in small groups. All day, all bell long, instead of just every once in a blue moon. So that's kind of the time, the mind shift around time that I kind of try to tell teachers about flipping.
Yeah. And I like that, you know, because it's not just the math problem piece. That's part of it, right? But on reallocation of your time, right? If you only have so much time and you really are committed to formative assessment routines, or you're committed to differentiating your instruction with interventions for different groups of students, you know, you just have time that you can spend or allocate differently, right? If you're preparing that way. So I think that sort of a breakdown with the minutes or the hours that you just gave mm-hmm. really helps illustrate that concept. And, you know, when someone is thinking about flipping their classroom, you mentioned this idea of recording that quick video and having that to share with students. What kind of ed tech tools do you recommend? Are you finding that teachers are making their own videos primarily or curating resources from different places? You know, what are the kind of ed tech tools that can help a teacher flip their classroom?
Absolutely. So first I'll say that I recommend to teachers that they only flip one course or one subject area for our elementary friends or middle school friends at a time. Only do one at a time. So, and that means that you're making those videos on your own. There really is an advantage to your students, the connection you build with them, and the very literal, like physical context connection that their brain makes between you delivering the content and diving deeper into it in the classroom. There is an advantage there. But making all of our own videos is not always possible. So, you know, no qualms about like using other resources and find other teachers. Find them on YouTube and use their stuff. But the number one tool that I recommend, and I'll explain why, is unfortunately not a free one, but because it's not free, it's that much more quality. And so if we're talking about the aspect of our time being so incredibly precious, you want to use a tool that is going to last. That's also not going to change every few months, as much as that's great, but it's something that you know, right? And that you can really grow into. And so you want this tool to last your career, right? You want it to last your career. So I recommend Camtasia. You can go to teachonamission.com/Camtasia to learn more about it and even get an additional discount on top of the educator's discount. I mean, there's so many great things I could say about it, but the other big thing is that it's not cloud-based. And when it feels like everyone needs to be creating a video online, that's a risk, right? So you want something that's going to live on your computer, and you can record a video at your kid's soccer practice if you really needed to, right? And you don't have Wi-Fi. So the other really awesome tool that I love for the flipped classroom, because it helps with some accountability, which teachers absolutely want to have in the flipped classroom, is Edpuzzle. Or a similar tool that I used in my classroom is PlayPosit, something that allows you to embed questions into your video.
And I like both of those pieces of just the accountability component to say, you know, what does distribution look like or sharing of these? I often use the phrase, you know, embrace your place. Like if you're using Schoology, like don't try and find someplace new just for the sake of it, right?
But yes,
having those tools in your back pocket, I think are really useful. And you know, I know that when I've gone out to search for content or search for videos to share with students when I was a classroom teacher, or when working with, you know, educators and doing a demo lesson, right, or something like that, you know, sometimes we have a vision or we know what it is we want to accomplish. And so we're not going to find on YouTube the thing that's going yes. to give that great example or have that personal connection. And so I really like just that idea that you might start on a smaller scale with one course that you're teaching or one subject area, kind of think through about it, you know, in those chunks, as opposed to going from 0 to 100, you know,
yes.
all of a sudden there. And so, you know, if someone is really thinking about flipping their classroom and building, you know, their tool belt out with this, I think Camtasia is a great recommendation, and I'll make sure to add your link in the show notes that you shared there for that extra discount. Are there others that you would see in action? There's some teachers who use Screencastify or Loom, or even Flipgrid Shorts is one that I've been excited about the past year or so, because it kind of, you know, takes those tools in another direction. Are there any others you might encourage people to explore?
Yes. Yeah, so I like how you explained it there, embrace your place. Something that I would add to that, that I've encouraged teachers, is as much as I recommend tools, you want to be a good steward of the tools that your school district is providing you, right? Like you want to be a good steward of those. So a lot of schools have subscribed to Screencast-O-Matic, or I really love Screencastify, and those allow you to edit. That's the beauty that you absolutely want. Sure, they're cloud-based, but they allow you to edit. That's great. I would recommend Screencastify. I use the free version because it allows 5-minute videos, and that actually helps me. It helps me to stay under 5 minutes, but I actually don't use it for content delivery. I use it to respond to emails. It's kind of weird, but once I started doing it, I loved it. I get all kinds of teacher emails, and instead of typing it out and I fumble over my fingers because my brain works faster, they get to see my face and hear my voice and explaining. And then I just plug that link into the email and say, I hope it's okay that I responded in a video. And I think parents would so appreciate that. Would so appreciate seeing your face as if they are having a conversation with you and they didn't have to get in the car and drive all the way to school to do it.
There's just so many applications for these tools. And, you know, that is a good example of just saying you might already use something that can help accomplish this goal. Or once you dive in, you might have your wheels spinning about all the different things that you can do. I'm the same way where, you know, I don't do it for every email, but once I look at an email and say, this is going to be like a 4-paragraph email that I don't want to write, that no one is going to want to read.
Absolutely.
And it might not make sense, right? I might not get the person. They might need to see this thing that I point to when I talk about it. So yeah, just those kind of extra levels of explanations and visuals, I think are really key. And so, you know, coming back to this question around these ed tech tools and what can help a teacher flip their classroom, you know, when you are advising educators or making videos, thinking back to your students, you know, are there pieces like PowerPoint slide decks or getting on camera or off camera or anything with those kind of visuals or prep that you recommend people to consider?
Yeah. So my biggest recommendation for teachers who are going to screencast, right? Record their screen because they oftentimes are using slides. My biggest recommendation is that you balance, find a happy balance that's unique to you between what's on the slide and what you are saying. Because if everything is on the slide and you are not there adding more, you can just give them the slides. And that's not the learning experience we want to make for them. So have the basics on the slide, and then you give a little more explanation and application in the video that they are then writing down, right? Of course, for our older kids. In elementary, it can look a little differently there, but probably it's going to be very basic content delivery application later. And then the other one I was going to say, oftentimes when we are doing demonstrations, right? So think of our math teachers. I did this when I was demonstrating writing in my social studies classrooms. You want to show them oftentimes your hands doing something, right? Just think of you up at the board. Well, we automatically, for some reason, think that we have to have a tablet of some sort or a surface we can write on, right? On our computer. And that's expensive. And then we have to find an app that's oftentimes paid for, and we got to learn that new app in order to record on our screen. What about just getting a piece of computer paper and a document camera and just demonstrating on a piece of paper, right? So it's funny. I almost feel bad recommending that, but it gets back to the basics of teaching. You're demonstrating a skill, and you're doing it in a way that doesn't require you more time and more money to purchase and then learn the new applications that you're going to be using.
Such a good reminder, because anytime we're talking about new initiatives, new ways to think about teaching and learning, you know, there's a lot of those pieces that might feel intimidating for someone, right?
Or absolutely,
I can't figure that out, or I don't know if I can use that software. But yeah, you just use your iPad like a document camera, right? Or use your document camera that you've always had. And right, so there's just a lot of things that I think when folks start going into this work or kind of thinking outside the box a little bit, it might end up being a little bit more simpler than they think it's going to be. And so if there's one thing that listeners could do right now to just save time in the upcoming school year by flipping their classroom, you know, what would that be? What's something that listeners can do to move in that direction?
My biggest recommendation for any teachers is to find a mentor, which oftentimes I can like hear the eye rolling happening from teachers when they're like, but I don't have, and I get it. I don't have XYZ, right? I'm teaching on an island in my content, something like that. Or I don't teach on a collaborative team, or I don't teach on a team at all. I think that collaboration is one of the most underspoken, underused asset to a teacher's life. that's going to help them be more sustainable. Whether that's you find resources on Teachers Pay Teachers, that person can become a mentor in some ways for you. Whether you find your podcast or my podcast or somebody else's, right? Or someone who can help you in like what I do in flipping the classroom, right? And if someone is looking for a mentor and helping them to flip the classroom, I want to encourage them to go and grab my Flip Classroom Starter Kit, which they can grab at teachonamission.com/starter-kit. So find someone who's been there, done that in specific areas is, I guess, what I'm really getting at there.
Yeah. And I think that's important for people who are looking for some resources or looking for someone who's kind of gone through the process already. So I will make sure to link out to your Flipped Classroom Starter Kit for folks that are curious or looking to learn more. And so, you know, before we finish up today, Mandy, I want to make sure everyone knows how to connect with you. What's the best way that they can connect with you? Can you tell us a little bit more about your work as we finish up today?
Absolutely. So I publish a new podcast episode on my podcast, The Sustainable Teacher. So folks are welcome to go and check that out. And really from there, they can either grab that starter kit, like you said, that you'll have linked, which I appreciate, but then they could also do the 7-day Sustainable Teacher Challenge, which is not meant to challenge their calendar, right? It's not meant to be time consuming. I do a less than 5-minute video each of the 7 days and give them actionable but manageable tasks to really start rethinking how their daily teaching lives can become more sustainable. And so, and that's a longer URL, and it's, I talk about it in the podcast a lot, but if we could link it, it's just teachonamission.com/sustainable-teacher-challenge. I really should get my URLs under control. But yeah, the last thing that I will say is just going along with the find a mentor thing is that we very much have a culture in education to DIY everything. Do it yourself. You know, you're out on, like I say, you're out on an island figuring it out. You're the pioneer oftentimes when you want to do new things, which is great and often exhilarating, but not all the time should we have to DIY absolutely everything. So find someone who's been there, done that. Everybody can find me on social media with the handle Teach on a Mission. There's also our website, teachonamission.com, and I'd be excited to chat with anybody.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Mandy. This is so helpful, super actionable for listeners, and really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I was glad to be here.
It was so much fun chatting with Mandy and hearing her tips for saving time and making the most of a flipped classroom. If you've listened to episodes of this podcast before, you know I am all about making the most of all of our minutes in our day. So these strategies definitely resonated with me. Let's finish up, just like we always do in every episode, by making this EdTech easy. First, start with one course or subject area. Next, choose a simple tool. Then, find a tool that lets you edit. And finally, locate a mentor. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode with all of the resources and tools we talked about today by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode. It's number 125 already. Or if you're listening to this on a podcast player and you open up the description area for today's episode, you should see a link to the show notes and a couple of ones that are top of the list for you to explore for today. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Microsoft Education. I'm so excited to partner with them to bring you new episodes of the Easy EdTech podcast this summer. There are so many new updates to Microsoft Teams, and I don't want you to miss a thing. You can find posts on my blog all about the updates, or head straight to their landing page to learn more. Just go to aka.ms/TeamsPP. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they are searching for topics like EdTech in their podcast app. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech podcast wherever you're listening.